feel very blessed today. Almost some of my all-time favorite songs were all picked today for the worship and for the special, and I count that as a great blessing. Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, this morning we're going to start a new series of messages entitled Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey. If you haven't been here or haven't been here in a while, our theme for this year is simplicity. We don't want to be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. And as I prayed and thought about the theme for this year, last year in preparing for this year, this thought kept coming to my heart and mind, just the simplicity of trust and obey. Really, we make things very complicated sometimes. And too many times we're too concerned about a lot of convoluted ideas and our own philosophies and ideologies. And really what it all boils down to is we ought to know what Jesus says, we ought to believe what Jesus says, and we ought to do what Jesus says. I grew up singing the song, Trust and Obey. And it really is that simple. We need to not just believe the Word of God up here in our heads. There needs to be more than this mental assent to it that we kind of know these things to be true, but it's got to sink down into our hearts where we really believe it, that we trust in it, that we act on it. And what we believe determines our behavior. What you believe will affect what you do. Now, I want to invite you to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. If you're able, let's stand together. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, in a world that's filled with confusion and lies, we can know the truth from your word. I thank you for the Holy Scriptures that you've given us that have made us wise unto salvation. I pray for those among us who have never been born again. They've never personally repented of their sin and unbelief. They've never trusted in Christ with all their heart. They've never called on your name to be saved. I pray today would be the day that they would be born again, that they would escape the penalty of sin and death and hell because of what Christ did, that they would trust in that completely. I pray for the saved to follow you in baptism. I pray for all of us to serve you faithfully in the church. And thank you for this church, the blessings of it. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts today. Lord, that you would grow faith in us through your word and by your Spirit. And please help me, for I'm nothing without you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Faith, belief, trust. As we look in the Word of God, all of these words are used repeatedly hundreds of times. Faith is fides. It's to trust, to believe. Webster's dictionary, the old one, says in theology, it's the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. It's a simple belief in the Scriptures, but it's not just that, because also, in an evangelical sense, he says it's justifying or saving faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, and it's accompanied with a cordial assent to the will of the heart. In other words, there is a belief where I believe the Bible, I believe it's God's word, I believe there's a God in heaven, I believe in heaven and hell, I believe there was a man named Jesus who died, I believe all of those things to be true, but that's different than a saving faith where I appropriate that, where it becomes more than a head knowledge, it becomes this is what I'm trusting in. And that's what we want to happen in our lives. And it's evident in our lives whether we believe something or not, whether we're really trusting in something or not. I've used the illustration so many times, but how many of you believe in airplanes? I know it takes a lot of effort, picking your arm up. It's Sunday morning, but you believe in airplanes. Whether you've been to an airport or not, you believe in them. You see them fly over all the times. Now, how many of you would never, ever trust an airplane? I see Augie's hand. I know. Yeah. See, there's a difference between believing in it and trusting it. You guys know me. I love to fly. I love it. I think it's just rapture practice. The Lord's going to, we're all going to fly away. If we trust in Jesus, one day we'll fly away. So I love flying. It's one of my favorite things on the planet to do. Well, I guess off the planet to do. I love to fly. But some of you don't. And there's a difference. You can believe in an airplane, but you don't trust in it unless you sit down in the seat and go, right? Amen. There's the difference. You see the difference between believing and trusting. And I told you about the man, he was one of the, like you guys, he didn't ever want to fly, never would. This family bought him a ticket, sent it to him, and said, listen, it's non-refundable, you got to come. And so he did. And when he got off the plane, they were like, how was it? He said, it was fine. But he said, I'm going to tell you, I never did put all my weight in that seat. I'm afraid that's how some of us are. We believe the Bible, believe in Jesus, and we trust him part of the way, but we never really put all our weight on Jesus. We never completely trust him. And it's a crazy thing because our faith begins when we're saved, right? Amen. And what greater faith is there? What more is there to put in the hands of Jesus than your eternal soul? Amen. You're going to put your whole eternal soul in his hands, but then you're not going to trust him for sickness. You're not going to trust him for finances. You're not going to trust him for family problems. Do you see the disconnect? That's crazy. We ought to trust him all the way. Spurgeon said, I recommend that you trust God to the hilt. In other words, if you have a sword, all the way to the hilt as far as you can. He said, I recommend you trust him to the hilt or don't trust him at all. Amen. Really, and at the end of the day, there's really not any in-between place. Either we believe God's word and we believe it's true and we act accordingly, or we really don't. Amen. When it comes to the gospel, we either believe that heaven is real and hell is real and Jesus Christ is the only way to escape eternal damnation, or we don't believe that. And if you believe that, you're going to put your faith in Christ. And if you put your faith in Christ and you believe those things to be true, you're going to tell other people how to come to Christ. You're going to warn them of the judgment to come. If we really believe the gospel, then it's going to affect the way that we live. And we live in a world today in America, Christianity today is crazy. I've heard more people speak out against evangelism who claim to be Christians than people who aren't Christians. That makes no sense to me. I've heard Christians, so-called, say that you ought not evangelize, you shouldn't talk to people about Jesus, it makes them uncomfortable, it pushes them away from the gospel. Listen, the gospel is the only way for people to get saved. If we don't give them the gospel, they're going to end up in hell forever. So what kind of Christian could say it would be a wrong thing to warn others of the judgment to come? Well, it might offend them. It'll be uncomfortable. I'm sure it's uncomfortable for a doctor to tell you that you've got cancer. I'm sure that's a hard thing for him to do, to give you that diagnosis, to run the test, and to sit across from the desk from you and say, listen, you've got cancer. But how evil would he be to not tell you? What if he just let you go? Pretend like everything's okay. Well, I know they've got cancer and I've got treatment that would help them, but I don't want to tell them because that would be awkward. That's crazy. That's crazy. And as a Christian, we have the truth of the gospel, and so we need to believe the word of God. I'd like to illustrate this idea of faith and trust with you one more time. I've asked Brother Augie to bring something to help me out today. Will you come up, Augie? Now, most of you that know that Augie loves to shoot his bow. Now, just stand about right over there. That's good. About how far away do you suppose this is? I'm going to set this right here. It's a bottle of water. I'm not going to hold it. I'm going to set it right there. hold on. So, how far is that, Augie? 20 yards? 15? How about now? Oh, okay. He needs a rangefinder. All right. Now, Augie shoots all the time. How many of you think that Augie could hit that bottle of water from there with his bow? How many of you believe that he could do that? You don't think so? You don't have a lot of faith in you, Augie. All right, how about now? How many of you believe he could hit it from there? All right. Now let's move from belief to trust. Wyatt, would you hold this bottle of water on your head and let him try?
You can do it
first. No. I'm not doing it. Would you do it?
No.
Okay. Anybody want to volunteer? I'm going to pray for your kids, Alicia. They're all raising their hand. No, Shelly can shoot better than he can. All right, well, thank you very much. We're not going to shoot a bow in the sanctuary today. I just wanted you to see it because, listen, it's one thing to say you believe something. It's something completely different to trust it. Now, listen, I think that Augie's a pretty good shot, and I have no doubt that he could put an arrow through that bottle of water from that distance, probably 50 times out of 50. I don't think that would be a problem for him. That's not very far. He shoots a lot, and I believe that he could do that. But I am not one time, am I going to put that bottle on my head and let him try. But see, I believe it, but I don't have trust. Do you see the difference? A lot of people might believe things of the Bible to be true. Some of you sitting here today might believe some of those things, but if you don't put your trust into it, it does you no good.
Amen.
And I want you to look at our text today and just see the direction of our trust, because there are a lot of things that you can trust in. But the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. Now, I read an article this week that said that people's trust in science is growing. It's growing. People are trusting science today more than they trust members of the clergy. That's shocking, right? More than they trust the media. This is a very revealing article. More than they trust their friends, people's trust in science is growing. What was interesting to me was the numbers. I believe the percentages grew from 38% to 42%. People trust science more, but not even half of the people in this country really trust science. Listen, we have a problem with trust today. Right? I mean, how many of you people believe what you read in the news or watch on the news? Anybody believe that? No, we don't believe it. How many of you people believe everything you read in your science textbooks? No, because listen to me. If you get a science textbook from when I was in high school, it's completely different than the ones that are in school today. And if you get one from when my mom was in high school, way back when my mom was in high school. See, I will tease her when she's here. I'm not scared. Much. That's not what I said last time. Thank you. Shh. The textbooks from then are completely different than when I was in school, and they're completely different today. Friends, I want you to know something about science. It's ever-changing. And it's supposed to be. Because it's man's understanding of God's creation, it should change. As we learn more, we understand more, we have to change what we believe about what's going on around us. But I want you to know there's something in this world that doesn't change, and it's this book right here. We call it the Bible. It's a collection of 66 books. We call it the Bible, but it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And this book does not change. And you can trust it. And what it tells us about God is what we're to trust in. The direction of our trust is to be to the Lord. Our faith, our trust must be in God. Psalm 40, verses 4 and 5 says, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." We want our trust to be in God. We look into his word, we see the many wonderful and mighty works that he has done. We can go all through the scriptures and see what God has done, and we can trust in that. And not only that, we can see what God's done in our lives.
Amen.
We can see the answered prayers, we can see the changed lives, we can see what God is doing today, and our faith must be in the Lord. And when we trust in the Lord, we've got to do it with all our heart. You know, look in the Bible, you see connections between certain physical and mental aspects of our being and our spiritual aspects of our being. For instance, Lamentation 3:51, mine eye affecteth my heart. What you see is going to affect the inside of you. Buddy with me? What you see affects your heart. How many of you can remember the first time you held your newborn baby? And what you saw affected your heart. It could be a great thing. It could be a great thing. This morning, standing outside, watching parents come into the church, holding their small children by the hand or carrying them. Man, that affects my heart. It's a joy. Amen. You see somebody get baptized. It affects your heart. It's a joy. Amen. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life are tear stains on an altar like this. What we see affects our heart. It can be negative too. If you watch filthy movies, it's going to affect your heart. If you stay around sinful people doing sinful things and seeing and hearing the wickedness around you, it's going to affect your heart. That's what happened to Lot. Jesus said in Luke 9:44, let these sayings sink down into your ears. And what the Lord is saying is, not just physically in your ears, because your ears are up here. Things don't sink down into your ears. What the Lord's saying is what gets in your ears needs to sink down into your heart. Have you ever let something go in one ear and out the other? God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to let them sink in. What we see and hear affects us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What we believe and we trust in with all our heart will affect us. And you remember in Acts chapter 8, Philip is sent by the Spirit down to Gaza and he preaches the gospel to the eunuch there from Ethiopia on his way back. You remember how he begins at the same scripture and he preaches Jesus to him. And after he gets done preaching Jesus, the eunuch said, there's water. Why can't I get baptized? You remember what Philip said? If thou believest with all thine heart. Amen. See, I meet a lot of people in our town who believe in Jesus, but it's all up here. It's not here. You say, well, that's awfully judgmental. How can you know that? Because it's evident in their life. Our trust has to be with all our heart. The direction of our trust has to be to the Lord and not unto our own understanding. Some of you, when you were teenagers, thought that you knew everything. Some of you are teenagers and you think you know everything. Amen. Some of you have survived being a teenager. You've reinserted your brain into your skull. And you now know that you really didn't know everything. Amen. And you still don't. We have our own understanding about life. We have our own understanding about everything. We can trust in ourselves. We can trust in our government. We can trust in our money. We can trust in our job. We can trust in our health. We can trust in all these things. But the Word of God is calling us to trust in God. And that's easy to do. Listen, when you got a good job and you've got good health insurance and things are going good and the refrigerator's full and everybody's happy, trust is easy to come by. But when you lose your job and you don't have insurance and your health isn't good and the family isn't doing well, then all of a sudden trust seems to be hard to find. And I want you to know that our trust in God should be the same no matter what our circumstances are. When I look at my Bible, I see men and women who had great moments of faith in their life and also great failures of faith. And I'm thankful that the Word of God doesn't hide those moments of failure. Can anybody tell me who the father of the faith is? Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham, when God called him out of country, he said, I want you to go to a country that I'll tell you of. I'm going to send you somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where. Abraham got up, packed up his family, and said, let's go. I mean, he got his wife and he said, hey, we're going to go. Where are we going? I don't know. How long are we going to be gone? I don't know. How are we going to have food and money? And I don't know. But God said, go, so he went. And we see Abraham had great faith. But he also had moments of weakness where he didn't trust God. That same loving wife who's willing to follow him anywhere, he said, I want you to lie to this king and tell him that you're my sister because I don't want him to kill me so he can have you. What a man. That was a terrible moment of faith. And listen, we can have faith in God like faithful Abraham. And we're going to have moments of failure. But those moments of failure were few and far between in Abraham's life, and they did not define him. He's defined by his faith, not his failure. And we can be too. Lean not on your own understanding. Isaiah 31:1 says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay or trust on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Hey, there are people in America today whose faith is in our military might. I don't know if you've paid attention, but things with China aren't so good these days. I don't know if you paid attention, but our nuclear treaty with Russia is gone. Well, the Russians haven't been keeping to it for years. And we finally are wising up and saying, if they're not going to stick to it, we're not going to stick to it either. Now, I don't know what that does to you and your heart and mind, but a lot of people in America are getting a little nervous, getting a little scared. Things aren't good with China. Things aren't good with Iran. Things aren't good with Russia. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, that ought to get your attention. And you go, man, I just don't know. I'm afraid. I mean, we need to increase our military budget. I'm thankful that our president's increasing our military budget, and we're going to build more missiles and do all these things. Listen, I want to tell you, I don't care who the president is. I don't care what the military budget is. I'm not trusting in our military. I'm trusting in the Lord. Amen. America is going to rise or fall. It's going to stand or be destroyed on God's timetable. Amen. It's him. Amen. And if we can trust him as a nation, if we can trust him to take care of our country, we ought to be able to trust him for our day-to-day lives. The direction of our trust has got to be on the Lord, and it's got to be in the Lord. It's got to be with all our heart, and that will change the direction of our lives. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Webster defines this acknowledgement as giving particular regard to someone or something. We need to give particular regard to God in all our ways. Seek his face, seek his will. Seek to know what he wants you to do in your personal ways, in your family ways. If you're not married and you're seeking a spouse, you ought to get on your face and ask God to bring you the right person. If you're married, then you ought to seek God's will for your life. Acknowledge him in everything you do as a husband or as a wife. If you have children, let me say this as nicely as I can. If you have kids and you're not seeking or acknowledging God in all your ways, boy, that's dumb. I remember when Abigail was born, Melissa and I think we were still at the hospital looking at her, and she's all, you know, I got really good at making baby burritos. I could swaddle that kid like nobody's business. I loved it. And we're holding Abigail, we're looking at her, and I'm like, man, we got a whole person's life to mess up. Literally, their life is in your hand. And if you're not acknowledging God in all your ways as a parent, you're crazy. Everything is against you. The world is against you. Your own flesh is against you. The devil is against you. And you need to seek God's face. Acknowledge him in all your ways as a parent. You need to acknowledge him in your personal ways, in your family ways. You need to acknowledge him in your occupational ways, in your educational ways, in your entertainment ways. We need to acknowledge God in every area of our life. Stop compartmentalizing your life and seeking God's will at church and ignoring him at work. Stop having God at church and not having it at home. Stop leaving God at church and not having him involved in your hobbies. God needs to be acknowledged in all your ways. And if you have some ways in your life where you can't acknowledge God, you don't want to bring Jesus along, then stop going that way. I promise you it's not worth it. If you can't do it knowing Jesus is with you every step of the way, then don't do it at all. I'm telling you, friend, if you can't watch that movie with Jesus sitting on the couch next to you, don't watch the movie. If you can't be around those friends doing those things that they're doing without having Jesus right there with you, then don't do it. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways. And when we do that, He shall direct our paths. Man, that's good. Some of you are like me, you're real men and never have to ask for directions. Some of you have been with me before and accused me of being lost, and I want you to know that I have never been lost. I always know where I am. I may not know how to get where I want to go, but I know where I am. Now, that's not a prideful thing. That's the truth. I'm laughing right now, so you know I'm just joking a little bit. Come on. I like to have good directions, though. If I'm going to go somewhere, I like to have good directions. Now, these days, I almost never ask anybody for directions. I ask people to drop me a pin. And I'm so thankful when they actually know what that means. And for those of you in the room today that don't know what that means, on my phone, I have Google Maps or Apple Maps, and I can find my location, and I can hold my finger on it. It'll put a pin there, and I can share that pin with somebody else. And they can go exactly where they need to go. They just follow GPS. Now, some of you are like, I'm never following GPS. I don't do that. And this is why. Because you tried it once. You tried to punch in an address in Muldrow, Oklahoma. Welcome to Muldrow. Right, it took you 10 minutes just to type in the address. Yeah. And you know that they live on the mountain, but it keeps trying to take you down by the river. Right? I hate bad directions. I want to know where I'm going and how to get there. Listen, when I use my GPS, I can't hardly stand it when I don't see the overview. I don't get an idea of where I'm going. It drives me nuts. But I want you to get this. We've got to learn to trust God, and He will direct our paths. God's not going to give you the overview. He's not going to show you every turn ahead of time. He's going to show you turn by turn. Amen. And you're going to have to trust Him for this next turn. Amen. You have to trust Him for this next decision, or you'll never get to the next right decision. You got to trust Him every step of the way. And that's hard for some of us to do. Sometimes I'll be on the phone with somebody, and I'll try to get directions, and it's like they've never been to their own house before. They'll say, you want to go up this highway? Which highway? I'm not really sure what the highway number is. Well, how far do I go? Maybe 2 or 10 miles. And you have no idea where you're going. You have no idea how to get there. And we don't like that. And I don't know about you, but I want some direction in my life. I don't trust myself to make right decisions. I desperately need God's help. And He's given me a formula here. I trust Him and I obey Him. I want you to notice something as we finish up today. These verses aren't directed to just anybody. Some of you, these are your favorite verses. We kind of snatch them out of the middle of the proverb, and I get that. But these verses are directed to someone who diligently studies the Word of God. These verses are directed to someone who holds on to the mercy and truth of God. They won't let him get away. Look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. You see it? You got to start with the Word of God. You got to take the truths that God gives you, His mercy, His truth, His love, and you've got to hold on to them. This morning, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me, please? I want to speak to you who are not saved today. I want you to know that you're trusting in something. I heard a man the other day, after hearing the gospel, he said, listen, I just need to try to do good. If I just do good and be good to other people, then everything will be fine. If you're trusting in your own goodness, dear friend, you're going to end up in hell forever. None of us are good enough. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. There's no one on the planet who's ever been good enough. The only perfect one was Christ, and He willingly died. He paid for your sin when He suffered and died on the cross. If you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to come trusting in Him. If you've never trusted in Jesus, I beg you today, stop trusting in your works. Stop trusting in your goodness. Stop not caring and trust in Jesus today. If you've been saved but you've never been baptized, I plead with you to follow Christ in baptism. Serve Him in the church. That's His will for everyone, to serve Him in the local church. And if you're in the church today and you're not living by faith, I beg you, start trusting Jesus with all your heart. It's something we're going to have to renew in our hearts day by day. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart, we want to invite you to come right now while we sing. Page 560.